I'm Tina Fletcher, T-I-N-A-F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, and I am the mother of two daughters. One of them is a 29-year-old biological child, and then I'm the mom of a 15-year-old adopted daughter from China, and I myself am adopted also.
So let's talk a little bit about your decision to adopt from China. Why China is my first question, and then I'd like to hear more about your own experience as an adopted person and how that influenced your thinking about becoming an adoptive parent.
Okay. Actually, the decision to adopt a child, I think, was something that was underneath it was in my subconscious for a long time. The reason I say that is because I recently found my high school diary. And at the end of that, I wrote what some of my life goals were. And in there, I said I was going to adopt a child and give birth to a child. And I was just shocked because I don't remember having said that. But I even showed it to Lily. I was like, look at this. And it really happened. So I think that was a little steady tom-tom beat underneath everything. So the decision for us to adopt came about because I met someone who was about to go to China and adopt a daughter the next day. And I came home and told my husband and our oldest daughter about it, as in saying, isn't this a nice story? And being 40, I wasn't thinking about it for us. I thought we were done having kids and raising a family. And I noticed that they were looking at each other. And then our daughter went upstairs. And about an hour later, she came downstairs. And this is when people just barely had computers. She came downstairs with a picture of a Chinese baby sitting by a panda bear. And she said, I think we need to do this. And I was shocked. And so my husband said, I do too. I really had to recalibrate my thinking because I was thinking we were almost done with our family. So I thought about it for a day or two and I decided, okay, let's do it. And it was just like that. It was a very quick decision, but maybe not since I'd been thinking of it all those years. And our experience was that we didn't really know anyone personally that had done that. We didn't know a lot of the logistics about it, but once we started looking, it became pretty easy to figure out what we needed to do. And the next thing we really needed to do is make sure our extended family was on board with it. So we talked to my mother, and she was beyond excited about the whole idea. Having adopted a child, me, she loved that whole thought. And so we talked to my husband's family, and I was a little concerned because they're a very close-knit Italian family, and yet they seemed to think it was a good idea. So we spent the next couple of weeks really asking ourselves if that was what our future could hold. And once we all agreed, then we went forward. We knew that our oldest daughter would be almost out the door. Because of her age, and I think she was going into her junior year of high school when we got Lily. So we didn't have too long as a family of two kids and two parents all living on this under the same roof. We just had 2 years like that. And so sometimes I think of our oldest daughter as being maybe like Lily's cool aunt.
Do you think that's how your oldest daughter thinks of herself in relation to Lily?
I think of her as thinking she is Lily's behavior management specialist. But as she gets older, and she's now almost 30, I think that she also sees that in addition to giving us advice on how to manage Lily's behavior, that she is a role model for Lily. And I think it's made her a better person, because I know she tries harder and she will frequently say, this is something I think Lily needs to think about, la 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 la. And I really think it's because of Lily that she's made herself do certain things. One example that I can think of is joining the Air Force Reserves. I really think part of that was spurred by wanting to be a good example for her sister. So their role has changed over time, more than ours has with our kids, because we're still the parents of these girls. But Rose's has evolved more in terms of seeing Lily now as more of a peer, maybe a co-conspirator sometimes, and collaborator. And so they've started having trips where Lily will go out and stay with Rose without us being there. And I think that's good for both of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. She has kind of an older sibling who's also a quasi-friend slash role model. That's yeah, right. Yeah. So you brought Lily home to Commerce, and she was telling me she's the only Chinese kid in her school. I'm raising my daughter in a largely Anglo place. What's that thinking like for you and your husband? How did you or did you kind of sort through how much Chinese culture do we provide? What's the larger context for all of this?
Yes. One thing about Commerce is because it's a university town and there's really not a lot of other industry or business in this town, you definitely see the ethnic diversity, maybe more than a typical small Texas town by far. So, for example, in her class, there are kids from India, Central America, South America, and East Asia and West Asia. So it hasn't been as difficult as I think it would be in some places. Another positive aspect, I think, for Lily of being Asian and Chinese is that if you're going to get stereotyped, typically the stereotypes involving Asian people tend to be positive stereotypes. In fact, we just talked about that last night or the night before, where people automatically assume that she's got talents, that she can play instruments, which she can, that she's smart, which she is, that she works hard, which she does. And so we talked about stereotypes are unavoidable, so if you are going to have them, it's nice to have positive ones. Beyond that, we did find it interesting that a boy from Taiwan, a boy from India, and her being from China are the top three students in their class. So that's just interesting.
Sometimes stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
That's what Lily said. One of the things that's interesting is when we go back to my home state in Montana, if you don't look too closely at Lily, she looks like a Native American. And occasionally, that's been interesting if we go somewhere that's a predominantly Crow Indian event, they don't think of her as being with us. You know, they're trying to figure out who she does belong to. Because there are some differences in her appearance. But from the back, I just told her, please don't wear your hair in two braids when we go to these events. It really makes it confusing and I can't find you. But also we've experienced that when we go work overseas in Asia. When she was little, I was so worried about getting separated from her in the airport in Seoul, because she was able to get around on her own, that I would write on her arm with a Sharpie, you know, what our names were, because I was so worried that we'd get separated and she wouldn't be able to ask someone for help, because there wasn't an assumption she was with two Caucasian Americans. So we frequently would get like separated from her, or people would push in between us. And then I realized, oh, they don't realize that she's with us until she opens her mouth and starts talking. And then people will say things to her like, oh, your English is so good. Yes, it is. We had that happen when we were working in Japan once, too. A woman had on a cowboy boot on her shirt, and Lily went over and said, where are y'all from? And the lady very carefully said, we are from Oklahoma. And not even realizing that Lily had just said y'all, you know. And so we just started laughing because she goes, well, I'm from Texas. You know, I know that lady was not expecting that.
So it sounds like you haven't really, you know, let yourself get too sort of angsty about some of the things that I think other adoptive families we've talked who do get a little bit angsty about all cultural context. It feels like you have a good way of looking at the inverse of these things, you know, and seeing that it doesn't all have to be negative.
Yeah, I mean, when we first got here, we spent a lot of time doing Chinese celebratory events. And then it made us realize after a couple of years of doing Chinese New Year and all the things that are involved with that, which I still think is a great holiday for a number of reasons, I really felt like we were misrepresenting how China really is, not only to her, but just it wasn't doing a service to the country, because I feel like we were, you know, if we had Girl Scouts or the school got involved, and of course we had all the Chinese dragon things and we had banners and all kinds of stuff. But I think I was giving everybody that we were interacting with a sort of a fake impression of what life is really like over there, that these aren't, it's not a nation of people just having a big party all the time and making lots of racket with firecrackers. So that's when we started thinking about actually going back and trying to experience China out of the context of tourism too. That's not to say that I haven't worried about her being bullied or being excluded, but I think she has adjusted that situation and made it not a factor by her own personality. I do find myself really gravitating toward schools when I know they have Rachel's Challenge events, which is an anti-bullying campaign. And I like that because I think about my own kid. But I also know that sometimes people who are bullied may inadvertently participate in creating the situation that leads to bullying. You know, they say that if a child is removed from this context and enrolled in this school, they get bullied over there too, and people want to know what it is that's happening. But I think that Lily is a strong person, and when her own personality got to show itself through, I can't think of any instances where she was really bullied or that she didn't feel like she could get back on top of things. And that's just her strength of character. Now, for me, as an adopted person who didn't meet my own birth family until I was almost 50, I came to learn a lot about nature versus nurture from that, because I was raised with a sister and then I met a brother. The sister I was raised with, of course, was not my biological sister. The brother I met is. And I am probably way more like the brother whom I just met than I am like the sister I grew up with. And he and I both find it almost startling how many similarities we wear, from the clothing and shoes we prefer to our eating preferences and the turns of speech we use. Now, our life story was very different, and you can tell he grew up in a culture of poverty and food insecurity and things like that. And I grew up in a middle class, stable home. So the wolf is not always at the door for me like it is for him. And he's reflective enough to see the difference and explain it to me. He'll say, you know, the wolf's always at the door for me because I didn't have enough to eat when I was growing up. So we see those differences. But if I just know that Lily's birth parents had a certain strength of the way they were, and it's transmitted to her. I mean, I'm not going to take credit for her solid personality, because I think she came to the table with a lot of the stuff that she's got. And that's courtesy of my own rambunctious biological brother. So
in a way, has it been, you wouldn't know any other way, but I'm just curious if in some sense it's a little bit liberating to be an adopted person who becomes an adoptive parent, because you don't have these assumptions about how your child is a kind of absolute, complete expression of who you are in some direct way.
I agree with you on that, because I have always said that being an adopted person is tricky, just in general, because you can look at it in two different ways. You can look at it as, yes, you are a blank slate, but you don't have that sense of genetic connectedness and all that. But the liberating part of that is you don't wait for the bad stuff to happen either. you know, like the long family history of breast cancer or schizophrenia or any of that. Like, and therefore, you also don't unwittingly play into making that happen. You know, like, this is my destiny. This will happen. This is like the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. If you haven't ever seen it, you should watch it, because it's like you create some of your own reality. Well, if you don't know what your reality was, then it's somewhat freeing. So it's good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what else you asked
me. No. That was what I asked you. It my daughter came home with a big keloid scar on her knee, and she, you know, we don't know how she got it. And she was asking me about it, because kids will ask her about it. And so one day I just, instead of panicking about it, I thought, you know what, Caroline? You can make up your story. How did you get your knee?
That is true.
You don't have to who cares what happened? You can decide what happened. And there is a kind of creativity to being able to invent your story.
I will say that when I met my brother, it answered a lot of questions for me. And some of the stories that I heard were not good. In fact, they were really bad. And I was glad I was an adult when I heard some of the stories about my birth mother and her head injury and what people did with her after that. And living up in Montana in the 30s, 40s, and 50s was kind of a frontier culture anyway. And I even think about some of the bad things that happened to him. So I was glad I was an adult when I heard him. But on the other hand, it's very satisfying to know some of the ways I am are not just unique to me, but they're connected to a long line of people. You know, you stand this way because, or you do this because, or you talk just like our mother. You know, so that's been kind of satisfying, while it's also been somewhat disconcerting. So what Lily and I have talked about is, you know, I told her I would help her, just like my mother told me, I'll try to help you locate your people. I think we should wait until it's a legal thing to give up children for adoption in China, and some smart person will come up with a DNA registry or something. But the other piece of the puzzle that could be very interesting is if she has a sibling who was raised in the United States. And that represents in itself a whole different set of constructs, you know, that you might have an American-raised, Chinese-born biological sister. So that's a different world.
So one last thing. So when you say you want to wait until it's legal to, you know, is that because you have concerns about implicating the birth family in difficulty?
Yes. We know that Lily was abandoned on the back steps of a women and children's hospital. So I feel like the decision for her to relinquish her in that kind of a controlled environment was very intentional on someone's part. I told Lily it's like the story of baby Moses, you know, when his sister is along the Nile River watching to make sure someone picked Moses up. I feel that way about her, that somebody watched and waited until she was picked up, which was incidentally the doctor, the first doctor on duty, found her. And I thought, somebody figured that out. And good Lord, I can't remember what you asked me.
If the reason you're waiting is I thought that was an interesting point. No one else has made that point, that you have a concern that when you go on a search, it's not just your life that's getting upended.
Right. Okay. So I think that her family was intelligent and they had a plan that was in her best interest. Now, I've heard a lot of times the husband or the father's parents make the decision because they say, you know, it's like, if you have a daughter, it's like watering someone else's grass. You know, I've heard that phrase. So if they said, you must relinquish this child, then they did it in a manner that indicated intelligence and care for her. So if they are people who are still in that community and still living responsible, productive lives, I know at the time they relinquished her, it was illegal to do so. So I don't want to cause them further suffering by jumping back in there. And I know also from my own set of circumstances that because no one knew my existence and the emotional aftermath from my birth family that really doesn't even have to do with me, it's them all interacting with each other over how could this have happened, etc., that I know that the ripple effect is probably broader and more pervasive than we would even know. So I think that I would encourage Lily to wait until, A, it's easier and more practical, especially since we'd be having to go overseas or doing a lot of interacting with non-English print, but also for her to be older so that she's ready for the story, whatever it might be, and them too. So
you really have an interesting perspective, because being an adopted person whose older daughter found your birth family with your permission, mm-hmm. you've experienced how this affects, as you said when we arrived, everyone.
That's right.
Not just the searching That's child.
Right. And I will also say that it was very hard on my adoptive sister, you know, because all of a sudden she was having to share me. I think the two people that are not very strong individuals, one is my adoptive sister, so it was very hard on her, but my brother's fiance, suddenly another woman was in the picture. And he and I at first were talking on the phone 3 times a day for months. And I actually went to a counselor and said, this is too intense. This is just too intimate. It's too much, but I'm like addicted to it. And he said, don't worry. He said, it's all going to calm down real soon because you can't sustain that level of emotional intimacy. And he said, what you'll find is, well, most people find is they go back to living the life they had. And then this person is like a bonus person. And that's exactly what's happened. So now my primary people are the ones I grew up with. My primary relatives are the ones I grew up with. I don't want anybody else's new drama. You know, when they try to tell me a family story, I'm like, I'm not in that one. That's your story. I already have some over here. Thank you. but also, it takes a little pressure off my brother, too, because I worried about him feeling kind of gypped because he did grow up having such hardship, and I grew up with a nice, steady life. So, honestly, we have calmed down, and I think that for her, they just need to have more time elapse, and then they can all think about it. I'm sure somebody will start a movement. It's already going on in Korea. There's a TV show on Wednesday nights where it's like, meet my birth mother or whatever. And so when we were working in Korea, we would host at the orphanage. We were some of the hosts that were asked to help with that because we spoke English, and a lot of them were coming from Scandinavia. And so you'd see this Korean-looking guy, and then he'd be like, hello, you know, it's just like, and they'd be there to meet their birth mother. And I think for some of those people, that was just pretty earth-shattering over there.
Well, my last question is, knowing everything, are you glad that you let your daughter Rose search for your birth family? Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah. You know, of all the things about Lily's adoption and my adoption, if I could change anything, instead of being 42 when I got her, I wish I'd been about 35, you know, because I've been a medium-age mother and I've been an old mother. And I think that I have more wisdom now, but she and I were just talking about this. I have more wisdom now, but, you know, my body kind of craps out on me sometimes. And some of the things I wish I cared a little bit more about, like band fundraisers. I don't really want to do that stuff anymore. And my peer group, none of them have children in the age of my daughter. And so my peer group, actually, if I call them about Girl Scout cookies or something like that, they laugh hysterically that I'm still doing that. And so sometimes I feel like Lily gets a little gypped because she didn't get me when I was in my super go-getter, let me do all those cupcakes and Twinkie things with your peer group. And other than that, though, everything's really played out really nicely. So no looking back or no complaints. And I still look at this time period in our country where people are able to adopt children from other countries as a grand social experiment that we'll look back on someday and say, wasn't that amazing that we were able to participate in that? Because I think ultimately people will adopt children in their homelands and it will be destigmatized. It'll be easier in some ways to do that. And I do wish that Lily could have been raised in China for her. But on the other hand, sometimes we feel like this is just your fate. This is where you were placed. And so now we have to let it unfold and see why you were brought here. And that's the story we don't know yet.